This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
This is a trap! Tomorrow is
the following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
It feels so good. So good to be
there. Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek. Welcome to your show that explores sex, sexuality and self. My name is Dean Beck. It's great to be with you tonight. It's also great to be with you, Andrew the Apprentice.
Good evening, Dean. Big thank you to the Chicks Talking Footy crew.
Kicking goals, they were.
Kicking goals.
Straight through the middle. Well done to them and well done to you for joining us on Hide and Seek on this very special occasion.
Yes.
For no particular reason. That you and I are here doing it.
Exactly.
Which has been a while.
It has.
Mm. Why is that?
Well,
are you avoiding me again?
No. Busy. Now, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
It's one of those weekends this weekend, isn't it?
It is one of those weekends.
One of those dirty, filthy weekends.
Yes.
This weekend.
That they do seem to have fairly regularly nowadays. But
correct me if I'm wrong, I thought it was only a couple of times a year, but it seems to be every, month you turn around and there's another thing in the bowels of the thing.
Yes.
Well, good luck to them.
Yep,
exactly. May they have a dirty, filthy weekend.
This one's naked, apparently, so.
What?
Who knows? Who knows?
I've had all these people agonising over about what they're going to wear.
Oh, no, this one you don't have to wear anything.
Oh, well, alert. Forget what you were wearing.
Yeah.
Not required. Good for you.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice are with you tonight on Hide and Seek. That was the Pentatonix with I Need Your Love. Now, Andrew, we haven't even mentioned what's on the show tonight. We've been too wrapped up in our own importance.
Exactly. But you came straight from the Globe announcement that of their annual community grant.
Can I just say they were giving it away like nobody's business tonight. And we'll find out more when we're joined by a vast array. I think the entire party has joined us here at Joy. So we'll find out what they've got to say shortly. But when I was there, I caught up with the Secretary of Vic Bears, the lovely Nigel Wapling, who had this to say. Nigel, you had a very big event just last week. How did it go?
It went amazingly well, thank you very much. We actually sold out most of our events in advance. We had a lot of heaps of people interstate as well as overseas, and the vibe was just absolutely wonderful.
And across the board, your events were a sellout. You didn't have a dud event in the whole calendar.
Look, there's one or two that didn't sell out, however, so you can't say we're absolutely perfect. But no, overall, we were actually exceeded our expectations.
I reckon there were a lot of people from out of town that were here for that particular hibernation. Are you able to quantify that at all?
Well, at a guess, probably 200, 250. Yep.
And of course, it is a charitable event. You end up raising money for, who's your charity?
Is Switchboard for the last 12 months.
No better worthy recipient of your charitable funds. Any idea how much you might be throwing their way yet, or can't you say?
I can't really say, but I'm guessing probably 10,000 plus.
That's not bad at all. I reckon they'll be happy with that. Now, I need to congratulate you too, Nigel. You were the recipient of some funds yourself tonight here at the Globe Community Grants announcement. What's Vic Bears going to do with the funds that Globe has given you?
We're actually going to use it to fund some of our forums, which is what we've traditionally called Bear Heart. So the fact that we're actually a social club for gay men who associate with as being a bear or admirers of bears, we actually have that social health and well-being aspect of it. And we're looking at issues such as diabetes, prostate cancer. We've had one recently on mental health, and I see us a scope for it more. And they're just the topics we're starting with.
Yeah, I don't take this the wrong way, but they're two. Well, prostate cancer affects all men equally, and I imagine that diabetes is of a major concern amongst some of the bears as well.
Yes, definitely. And it's a disease that a lot of people don't actually realise how prevalent it is in our society.
And then, sadly, they catch it a little bit too late, like with prostate too. So what is that about? What do you want to get across in those forums?
It's about, with diabetes, actually being aware if you either have it or you don't have it, and how you can prevent it, and if you have it, how you can actually manage it. Having that money is actually going towards actually putting on a more professional forum.
And an awareness campaign. And look, it's all about awareness and getting in early, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Congratulations, and well done for last weekend, and thank you very much for joining us on Hide and Seek.
Great. Thank you very much, Dean.
I'm on fire. Hide and Seek.
Fire it all.
Beck and Andrew, the Apprentice, with you on Hide and Seek. And tonight we're getting stuck into business, Andrew.
We are.
We're giving away money.
We are.
We have awards coming out of every orifice that you could possibly imagine. We're joined by
the president of Globe, the gay and lesbian organisation of business and enterprise.
And if he wasn't good enough, we've got the vice president here as well.
Yes.
We've got the head of diversity for Globe, Rebecca's here. Also joined by Danny, who just won a grant. Congratulations to you. And Rowan's here for his look. So we're really rapt to have you all come in straight from the awards. David, let's kick it off with you. You gave out more money just a moment ago than ever before.
Yes, it's our 25th birthday, so we gave away $25,000.
Fantastic.
Happy birthday.
All of our money that comes from the Globe Community Awards, we gave away today to 10 community organisations. A young man who won a scholarship from Globe, and also we gave $4,000 to a small business as well.
So you mentioned this is generated throughout the year, the revenue that you use for these awards and the grants. Why does Globe have a grant system?
We've run the grant system for about 18 years now, and it's always been around really using our events, using our networks to raise money throughout the year so that we can give back to other community groups. We recognise that there's a lot of community groups out there who don't have the capacity that Globe has at times to fundraise and don't have the membership that Globe does. So we've always used raffles, used fundraising to actually build some funds to give away back to the community.
Because your community grants, the standard ones are like $2,000 or something, aren't they? So that's really significant for a really small group, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's I find community organisations make, even though 2,000 can sound like a lot for corporations, it's not much, but community organisations can make a little go a long way as well.
It's fair to say, Dan, that the boost in giveaways has been brought about by the Department of Premier and Cabinet supporting your awards night. Can you tell us how the restructure has benefited the community?
Say that again?
Can you tell us how their sponsorship and the restructure of the grants program has benefited
all of us? It's really just allowed us to extend the program a lot further than what we were able to previously. So as Dave said, throughout the year we do a lot of fundraising, a lot of our events generate some form of income. But on top of that now, with the support of the Victorian government, we're obviously able to extend the program and to really kind of go out and give a little bit more than what we have previously. So again, $25,000 this year, the largest that we've ever done. The small business grant this year is the first time that we've done that, and the Victorian government has certainly helped us to do that.
David, it was a bit cutthroat there. You asked your three finalists in the small business category to give a pitch to all present and a judging panel that were hiding in the crowd. That's sink or swim sort of stuff.
It was an idea that came about through. I went to a conference last year, an LGBT business conference, and they did exactly the same thing, and that's where the idea came about for it. And really, the whole genesis of that idea is that regardless, for those three organisations, and there were three wonderful organisations who pitched tonight, that regardless of whether they win a grant, each of them have had the experience of preparing for a pitch, pitching it themselves and their business out in front of others as well.
We'll catch up with the person who won that category very shortly. But Rebecca, you were the recipient of a scholarship last year, part of this round of grants. Tell us what you did with that opportunity.
I was. So last year I put in a submission for the scholarship and I was successful and I won. And the scholarship was based around part of our working out program that I'm a part of, which is like an LGBTI job support service.
They've been multi-award winning themselves, haven't they?
We have. Yeah. We won a grant this year as well, which I was not part of the judging panel, obviously. It's a bit of a conflict of interest there.
Just want that clear. Thank you, Andrew. Swipe that look off your face.
Yes, conflict of interest is very important.
Yeah, but the scholarship that I won last year was aiming towards training for people to have a bit more awareness about the trans and gender diverse community. So community-based organizations, educational facilities, business owners, anywhere that we had placed people that identify as being trans or gender diverse, we were doing training to those organizations. And the scholarship money was to put me through a course in training and assessment so that I would have the qualifications in order to be able to deliver that service. I've got the lived experience, but I need the qualifications in order to be able to deliver that, and that's where the money went to.
So prior to a placement, you would go ahead into that business who was taking on board that new individual and you'd sit with them and go through the motions?
Yeah, so if the person decided they wanted to be open about their trans identity or their gender diverse identity, then we would offer training, which would then be funded through the government for that organisation to be able to have access to that training. So then I would then go and deliver that training to the employer or their colleagues or whoever it might be that's involved with that individual, and give them some, I guess, 101 on trans issues and things they need to know, and having inclusiveness and gender diverse bathrooms and all those types of different things that trans people demand. So, which is a good thing, and it's a good awareness policy for people to know, and yeah, so that's kind of where it stemmed from.
And Rebecca, you know, how much demand is out there for this sort of service?
I wouldn't say there's so much of a demand as much as there is a push. So, it's more about people generally don't know they're doing something wrong if they don't have knowledge about it. Yep. So if people aren't aware that they're doing something that's not, I guess, the right thing by a minority group, then they're not aware that they're doing the wrong thing. So it's about opening people's eyes and letting them know there are people that need extra support and people that do need things in place to make their working life successful. And for the trans and gender diverse community that have a high percentage of unemployment rates and a high percentage of suicide, depression, all those types of things, it's really important for the broader community to be supportive of the trans community. And I think we're definitely at a time that is I guess, expanding that for the trans community and making that a much safer and positive experience for trans people.
And obviously you've been very busy in helping the trans community in this space.
I have been, yeah. So besides advocating and delivering the training that I'm doing through my organisation, I'm doing support for people that identify as being trans and gender diverse through my organisation at Sensewide Employment, working out. Doing a plug, there you go.
Done well so far.
And then also being brought on board as part of the GLOBE committee as the diversity director to help with their policies around
making... So how much smartening up have they needed, just quietly?
We're in the room.
They're very open to change.
Right.
And which is a good thing, and they're very aware of... what needs to be done to be inclusive of the trans community, and the community grants and the things that are supported community awards as well through GLOBE have been very supportive of the trans community. Michelle Shepherd was a recipient of an award last year, as was Sally Goldner, I think it was the year before. Mm-hmm. And then this year there was Emily Dwyer, who won the Small Business Award. So
don't give away the...
Oh, sorry.
We'll get to that in a minute.
But yeah, a lot of positivity for the trans community.
The work that you do really does make a difference in the lives of not only the individuals, but also in the organisations. It's transformative. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Dean Beck, Andrew the Apprentice, and a throng of Globeites here, all giving away stuff factually.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew and Dean are with you tonight, and we've got the Gay and Lesbian Organisation of Business and Enterprise with us this evening.
There's so many of them, I think we should call them the Bulbs.
The Bulbs.
Now, David, we had for the first time this year a category where a business could put in for, was it $4,000?
Yeah, it was a $4,000 grant.
That's a nice kickstart for a little project for a business.
Exactly. And we thought, considering we've been giving away community grants for so long and we are essentially a business and professional association, we should start doing something for
business. Why not do that? What a bloody good idea. Well, I got to speak to the winner of that. Turns out I knew this person, didn't I?
We do know her.
Yeah. Emily Dwyer, I seem to remember that name. I think you had something to do with Joy. In fact, I think you were my boss at one point in time. Emily, congratulations. You've won a big amount of money from GLOBE at the community grants today. Tell me what it is that you're going to do with... Boy, how much was it first? Am I allowed to say that, or is that rude?
It was $4,000, and we're absolutely stoked, and huge thanks to GLOBE, the judges, and the community here in Melbourne. EdgeEffect is a social enterprise that I've set up with two partners, Lana Wolf and Heather Grace Jones. And we work with international humanitarian development organisations to help them to engage with LGBTIQ people where they do their projects, largely in the Pacific and in Southeast and South Asia. So at the moment, a lot of projects that those organisations do don't really take into account the needs of LGBTIQ people. But, you know, we think there's a lot of interest, there's a lot of goodwill. People are very receptive to what we're talking about, but we need to... You know, set up some training workshops to do help them to do program design, and also really to work with the local communities in those places so that, you know, they can make sure that their lived experiences are centred in this process, that they can also engage with the international system and make sure that their needs are met.
Much of this humanitarian response is at a time of crisis. It's everyone's in sort of panic mode at the time. You gave an example in your presentation that delivered really clearly why this sort of training needs to take place. Can you reiterate that for us?
Yeah, so in Tamil Nadu, there's a community of Aravani people who are a third gender group. So they're assigned male at birth, but they live trans and non-binary lives, and their intimate relationships tend to be with men. But they don't understand themselves as men or as women. They're a third gender group. So after the 2004 tsunami hit the coast there in Tamil Nadu, soon afterwards the aid workers came along with their projects. And as part of that, you had to register to get aid. So the registration forms had one box for M and one box for F, along with the other information they collected. But of course, the Aravanis are a third gender group, so they can't tick M and they can't tick F. And so they had discussions with some of the aid workers about which box they should fit in, and it turned out that they didn't fit in any of the boxes, and so they weren't registered.
And couldn't get any financial support.
So if you're not registered, you can't get the food, you don't get the ration card, so you don't get food support. If you didn't have the ration card, you couldn't get into an emergency shelter. You didn't get the cash support from the government. Their deaths and injuries weren't counted in official statistics. And maybe even beyond that, the rest of the community saw that the Aravanis weren't being looked after by the government and the international community. And so it reinforced stigma that that community has been feeling. And that's lasted for years and years and years. And that's just one of many examples about, you know, people of diverse sexual orientation, gender identity expression, and sex characteristics, you know, who face particular kinds of challenges working within the humanitarian system.
Many of these NGOs are faith-based organisations. Are you going to be pushing the proverbial uphill with some of this work?
Look, we're really confident that we can have great relationships with some of the faith-based organisations, and we're already, you know, talking with some of those organisations. In fact, we were just in Fiji the last couple of weeks, and at the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexphobia and Transphobia, there was a panel, and there was a reverend from the Methodist Church who was speaking on that panel. I've also heard of projects in Indonesia where in Islamic context organisations are working with LGBTIQ people. So it certainly is possible. There are some additional challenges. There are situations in which some members of churches, for example, blame LGBTIQ people for bringing disasters on those communities, and that creates, you know, huge amounts of psychosocial trauma for LGBTIQ people in those places, that they're carrying that blame around with them. But, you know, LGBTIQ people are part of the flock along with everyone else, and, you know, there's nothing, we're not asking for anything else that other people don't already receive.
Now, you've got a bit of a history of throwing yourself into war-torn countries, but this is actually going to be focused on delivering education here locally. Explain that dynamic for us.
Sure. So when there's a tsunami or an earthquake, or, you know, there's a refugee situation, you know, lots of Australian-based organisations funded by ordinary Australians making donations or funded by the Australian government will be part of that humanitarian response effort. And so they might deploy directly from Australia, or they might work with local partners in different countries to provide aid to people whose houses are blown away, who don't have access to water or to toilets or a whole range of other things that you need just to survive. So by working with a lot of those Australian-based non-government organisations and private contractors, many of whom are based here in Melbourne, we can help to make sure that the design of humanitarian projects is inclusive of LGBTIQ people.
Minimum effort, maximum reach sort of thing.
Absolutely. There's a huge multiplier effect of working with the organisations here and hopefully also working with the Australian Aid Program and getting support from the Australian government and also other governments to provide money and impetus and to work with LGBTIQ people.
It's nice to know that something we're doing here locally is making a difference in the bigger picture too. So congratulations on your award. May you go forth and multiply.
Yay, thank you. Thank you, Globe. Thank you, Melbourne. Wanna see you again, baby. Wanna see you shake it down, baby.
You are with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on the show that explores business tonight.
Tonight we are exploring business. The Globe organisation have given away a heap of money, $25,000 worth on the 25th
That's not
birthday.
Bad going. One of the recipients of these community grants may be the business is about sex, sexuality and self. It's Cocoa Butter?
The Cocoa Butter Club.
Danny, can you explain yourself for us, please?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Danny and I run the Cocoa Butter Club. It's a performance night for Indigenous and or people of colour.
Oh,
it's very sexy.
I'm thinking Cocoa Butter.
No,
right. No, okay.
No, it's very a very awesome performance night. It's very radical. Like a lot of people just
would be a good performance though.
Hmm? Rubbing cocoa butter. Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah. So this is a cultural infusion.
I mean, it's very important because a lot of spaces, as I'm sure we all know, are very white dominated, and the performance space is one of those. So it's a place where people of colour and Indigenous people and people who are both can actually just be their full selves and explore also important intersections such as the intersection of being LGBT. Plus and a person of colour as well, which can be such a specific experience, you know. So, yeah, this performance night started in London and we've launched it here in March at the Spiegel Tent.
Wow.
It was so fun.
That's cool.
This grant will really help us with our next one, which is in July.
And how are you getting the word out there?
Yeah, right. Well, mostly through like word of mouth, through Facebook, talking on the radio like this really helps. And, yeah, just trying to approach different organisations that want to see these voices heard, you know, so whether it's inviting people of colour, white people can come to, anyone can come. It's just to really learn about it. So getting the word out there, we'd love some help. I'm sure Globe, this grant will really help as well. And yeah, just trying to reach out to people who know about these issues and know how important it is for these people to have a voice.
So is it a, I'm a bit confused. Is it a rehearsal space where people can gather and perform, or is it an event, a presentation, a final product?
So it's more of the actual event,
right.
But also we have a website with an archive of all these amazing Indigenous and or people of colour performers, because a lot of events when you say, oh, the lineup's quite, you know, white, they say, oh, I don't know where to find performers are of colour. So this enables people to find that. And with the help of Globe's grant and as we develop, we want to have more events that aren't just the performance night. It'd be great to have community events, get-togethers and see where this can take us. So it depends on the community and what they want as well.
Fantastic. I like the sound of that. And we could do with a bit of infusion.
We could. And you're going to have a big event at Midsummer, I believe.
Yes. So Midsummer's been very supportive as well.
This is going to be a big showcase for... Will all of your money go towards this? Or?
Well, the Globe Grant will help with the next one as well. And we'll see what we can do for the Midsummer one, because that won't be till January. You know, it's quite a while. So we'll see. We'll keep fundraising as well.
There's an award ceremony somewhere between now and January that I know could do with some entertainment. Maybe we could throw something, David, out in that realm.
There definitely is, and I was actually just thinking that as Danny was explaining, I'm like,
I'm not just a pretty face.
A rewards night.
Yes.
So your Globe Awards, they happen.
Oh, seamless, Andrew.
Seamless.
Absolutely seamless.
You've had a couple already, and you've got another one happening, of course, this year, I'm assuming.
Yes, it is our fourth one this year. So this year, 2017 Globe Community Awards have launched. So nominations are open. And we are having them on the 28th of October this year. So it's going to be a Saturday night rather than a Friday night, which it was previously.
And it's been moved.
It has been moved.
To the football field.
We have moved it to the Glass House, not...
Oh, right. Okay,
the old glass house, the glass house.
No, it's
at
not
Olympic
the lesbian
Park.
Pool no, venue, no, no. Andrew.
The one at Olympic Park.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
so it's pretty swish, there. Isn't it?
It is. It is nice and brand new. We've been at my mural hall previously. Lovely, lovely venue, but we just outgrew it.
And will they put the fairy lights on for us?
They are going to put the fairy lights on for us, which is going to be awesome. Awesome.
Cool.
And it's run by the same people as my mural hall, so the same standard of food and drink.
Right, the food organised, the entertainment's now organised, we've got the lighting done.
Yep,
we just need
sorted.
The bums on seats, David.
Exactly, we just need people to nominate.
And when are nominations going to open?
Nominations are open now.
So glad
now.
You asked, Andrew.
Nominations are open now on our website awards.globemelbourne.com.au, and they will close on the 13th of August.
Now, Dan, is it a struggle to get nominations in, or is it are you flooded with nominations for these awards?
No, I think typically we're quite lucky in that the community really know about the awards now, and they really want to be
recognised. The engagement's good.
And so it's really good, absolutely.
you don't ever have a problem getting bums on seats, that's for sure.
That's the easiest bit. So as David said, my mural hall, beautiful but too small now. Mm-hmm. And I don't doubt at all that we'll definitely get enough bums on seats this year. So.
It's crawling distance to my place, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah. After party at Dean's place.
Yeah, even if I do have to go across a soccer field and get lost along the way. But that's fine too, as long as I don't drown as I cross the river. David, what are you hoping to get out of a bigger venue, a reinvigorated awards night?
More
money to give away, I guess.
It is, so hopefully raising more money for the community grants next year. Really what we're looking for is to keep highlighting work for the community. We do need everyone's help out there, and I was talking about this at the launch today, that we do need everyone's help to really identify the work that is going on in the community. So I'd encourage people to look at the nomination, get words out through their network. If you know people who you think should be nominated, let us know and we will kind of approach their organisations as well.
And without going into too much detail, you know, you've got your business awards, you've got your community awards, media, sports, everything's sort of covered, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. We've got 10 categories. Four of them are for organisations. We've got a healthy community, connecting our community and protecting, and our business ones, and the rest are individual. So media, volunteers, sports, Straight Ally of the Year Award, so people who really support our community, and our Artist of the Year as well. We're looking to hopefully get some good Indigenous artists as well in that one.
And Victorian Queen of the Year.
Yes.
The big one.
Yes. The big one.
Yes.
Wow.
And we have never had a boy win.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
The
LGBTI Person of the Year.
Yes. Wow.
Think of that.
Yes.
There you go.
Vote one Dean Beck, right?
Don't you dare. Inappropriate.
No way.
But thank you very much for the nomination. And if you need a hand filling out that, that's fine.
Oh,
why is that not good enough?
We have had some really good applications, but we've had, and you know, the people who have won every year have been absolute standout.
I'll give you that.
Of course.
Well, give you that. Yes. Yes. Give you that.
And it's probably really hard to kind of pick one individual, right? The quality of the submissions are always so good. So
exactly.
And the guys are just wishy-washy in the
winter. Not enough detail, obviously.
So whose tips do you reckon? Any? Ooh. Oh, off the top of your head?
Off the top of your head. So just remind us again, who won last year?
Rebecca Stone.
Georgie Stone.
Now I've done it. That's mum.
Georgie Stone.
Georgie Stone won last year.
And who's the last one's been? Roe Allen, did she?
No.
We've had
Sally.
Oh, Sally Goldner.
And Anna.
Ah,
Brown.
Brown.
Yeah. The last 3 years.
You're not eligible, David.
I'm not eligible.
Bloody mackerel, get it again, seriously. Well, it'll be interesting to see who's... Well, we don't know who's nominated for that, do we? Because it's just...
Announced.
Exactly. Yes.
You've had People's Choice previously? Is that...
Yeah, we have previously had a People's Choice Award, and we will do that again this year. We usually put that out around late August, early September. We put it out for a vote.
I reckon that's a tough one.
Mm. Yes.
Because clearly, if you don't win it, you're not their choice. That's a tough gig.
You were someone's choice to be nominated in the first place, right?
Oh, yeah.
You were someone's choice.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just nice to be nominated.
So that's all happening in late October.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But nominations are open now, so head along to the website awards.globemelbourne.com.au.
So no changes to the categories, but a few changes to the judging lineup.
Yeah, so judging lineup, we have Farah Thomason, Our Lady Mayoress, Emma Page Campbell, Peter Hitchner, and David Hannam coming back. And we have Georgie Stone. And
congratulations. Elizabeth. I'm going to do that for you, David. It's just for you.
And Elizabeth Tuckey, who's the CEO of Youth Homelessness Initiative Ladder, joining us on the judging panel this year. They do an amazing, amazing job. They spend a lot of time on reviewing those nominations.
Fantastic. And, of course, Globe has its, monthly now, nights that help, of course, raise the money that lead to the community grants and also, I guess, the awards.
Yeah, so Blended Fruits on the second Thursday of every month. Our next one is on the 13th of July, happening at Emerald Peacock, which is where we had our launch today. So everyone is welcome. And I do stress to people, even if you don't know anyone, come along and let us know at the door, and the lovely Dan will show you around.
We'll certainly look after you.
You can find out all about that at globemelbourne.com.au. If you want to know about the awards and you want to nominate someone for an award, head to awards.globemelbourne.com.au. David, Rebecca, Danny, Dan, and Rowan for doing nothing. Thank you all so much for joining us on Hide and Seek tonight.
Hey, JJ, Other Ambush Street Rat here. I said I'll always remember the wood grain beneath my feet. Ambush Street was born out of the idea of not fitting into stereotypes. Growing up, I was listening to way more Bring Me the Horizon than I was Britney Spears. So I started the show off as a lighthouse of sorts for those who only see the stereotype of EDM and pop music amongst the gay community. Your support during our radiothon helps keep shows like Ambush Street on air and on podcasts, so thank you. Head to joy.org.au to sign up, renew your membership, or donate now. We still need joy and we still need your support. Your voice, your radio station.
Matthew Mitchum here, enjoying a reverse 2.5 twist on Hide and Seek. God, these diving puns are just terrible.
Dean Beck and Andrew, The Apprentice with you, saying farewell for now.
That's right.
Before we go, we should say that Lee from Oak Park has been prolific in correspondence, supporting and encouraging Rebecca to do all sorts of things that we can't repeat on air.
Exactly.
But thank you very much for that, Lee. And thanks, a very Lee. Big thank you to someone else.
Yes, David, our podcaster.
Well, I was going to say Russell,
sorry,
from Elwood.
Let's do Russell.
Thank
Russell
you.
First.
Thank you, Russell.
And
for
if
your
you're not,
lovely membership.
And all, to all the Globe members who are listening right at the moment on their way home from the community grants, make sure you become a Joy member over
are
the next 10 days.
Are all of those Globe people members? I don't think they all are.
They have
they
to
bloody
be.
They should be.
They've only got 10 days to go till June 30. They can get their tax deduction if they make a donation.
Get on a cruise.
We've only got about...
Get in a helicopter with Macca.
Yeah. Mm. Only got about 50 grand to go until we hit our target of 300,000.
That's not bad.
Over 2 months. So that's very, very good. So become a Joy member, joy.org.au.
Now, we have a very big thank you, Andrew.
Yes, a very big thank you.
To the one and only.
The one and only, Mr. David. Big thank you to David. He's been doing our podcasts for almost, well, for 3 years now.
That adds up to how many?
150. He's done 150 of our podcasts.
The man's an idiot.
And
a lovely one.
Yeah. But you know, we're still up there in the top 3 or 4.
Oh, we do all right, Andrew.
We do all right. Seeing the station is going gangbusters at podcasting.
And it's why we're having a break, so that we can give others a chance to enjoy the spot.
That's right.
Is that why we're having a break?
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. But we're having a break.
We're going to have a break.
At the end of this grid, is that where we're
at? Yes, end of this grid. So we'll be here for till the end of August.
No, four or five weeks.
Beginning of August. And then we'll come back in summer.
Hey, the head jobs are up next.
Yes, indie heads, they're called.
Indie heads, I mean. And the lovely Declan and co will be with you for an evening of great indie music. I'm Dean Beck. Thank you very much for joining us on Hide and Seek tonight.
And Andrew the Prentice here. We'll see you next week, or some of us will see you. Others will be here. Tim and Ben will be back maybe shortly.
Till next time, keep well, take care. Bye-bye. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9. You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.